Good morning. Good morning, One Church. I pray that you all are doing well this morning. What an amazing time we had in worship. If you enjoyed the worship this morning, just go ahead and send some emoji praise across the screen. Very thankful for our singers, our band, our worship team, for the consistency that they put on the table each and every week. So we definitely appreciate you all for that. This morning, as I prepare to bring the word, there are a few acknowledgments that I want to make before we get going this morning. The first one is impact students and parents. This afternoon at 2 p.m., Pastor Will would like to meet with you. You can download the Google link in order to join that meeting. It will be on the app, and it will also be on our Facebook page, the Impact Facebook page. And so make sure that you go access that link because Pastor Will has a lot of exciting things coming up this year for our youth. So I wanted to make sure that I made acknowledgement of that. And then also Men of Steel. If you're looking to get involved with our Bible study, it kicks off this Wednesday at 7 p.m. That is February the 17th at 7 p.m. We will be going through Victory in Spiritual Warfare by Dr. Tony Evans. It is a great study, and it is an awesome time for us men to come together and sharpen one another with the truth of God's Word. And also, the women of Vow have been having a great time on Mondays as they are going through everyday theology. And so if you would like to join in on that study, you still have time to join. You can go to the events section of our website and then go find the Vow Balanced Life Group Bible study. And then you can click there to register. And then also the link is there for you to order your book from Lifeway Christian Store. All right. So this morning, we're going to continue the series of Reset Me. On last week, Pastor Mac opened up this series dealing with the fact that I am saved and I can prove it. I'm saved and I can prove it. And so today we're going to continue under the thought of I'm saved, I must surrender. I'm saved, I must surrender with the subtitle of Lord, take my body. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. God, I ask that this morning that you would guide my words, that you would guide the delivery of your word. God, I pray that our hearts and our minds and our ears would be open to hear and to receive what it is that you have to say to us. Father, help us to mature in your word, to become better disciples and kingdom heirs with you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so again, dealing with the idea of Reset Me. There was a famous general. His name was Douglas MacArthur, and he was meeting his foe, a Japanese general. If you guys remember, this took place in 1945. And so the meeting was set up for the Japanese general to actually surrender to MacArthur. And the Japanese general, what he did is he stuck out his hand to MacArthur to shake his hand. And MacArthur looked at him and he said, "I can't shake your hand, sir, until you first put down your sword." And then he went on to say that we can't be friends as long as that sword is hanging by your side. He says, "Give me the sword and then we'll shake hands." You see, that's interesting because a lot of us, we have or we want to shake hands with the Lord, but we're not willing to put down our proverbial sword, and that is the sword of our will. If we want to continue in right fellowship with the Lord, we must surrender our will to God's before we can be in complete unity with Him. Richard Foster says in his book, The Celebration of Discipline, he says, "Self-denial is simply a way of coming to understand that we do not have to have our own way. Our happiness is not dependent upon getting what we want. Self-denial does not mean the loss of our identity as some suppose." You see, some think just because we come to Christ that we lose our identity, that we lose who we are. And brothers and sisters, that just is not the case. And so today we're going to deal from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 through 20. And so if we're going to surrender, there are a few things that I want to bring to our attention today. And so let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And just to set the background here, Paul is dealing with the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church was a very carnal-minded church. They were saved, yet they still had a lot of carnality in them that they were working through. They were heavily influenced by the Greek philosophers of the time, a large one being Plato, or Plato, however you like to pronounce it. He was a great influence on how they viewed themselves, and then also how they viewed themselves in relation to one another, and even in relation to Christ. So this was a part of them that they were still holding on to. And so the first thing I want to bring to our attention this morning is that just because you can doesn't mean that you should. Just because you can doesn't mean that you should. Let's journey to the text. Verses 12 through 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says this. It says, "Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." You see, the statement of everything being permissible, that was an argument made by the Corinthian church, that now because we are saved, I have the ability to do whatever I want to do. And Paul objects and he says, no, that's not the way that it is. You see, the reason that they equated, they made the statement about food, that is because they equated the need for sexual immorality to the same level of the body needing food. You see, the problem was is that these Christians, is when they would have these big dinner parties, they would also not only have the dinner parties, but they would actually end up having illicit and lewd sexual acts at the dinner table. It was dinner and orgies. That's what they did. And so they believed that it was so important, right, that just like the body needs food, our body needs sex and whatever it wants. The Message version of this says, just because something is technically legal doesn't mean that it's spiritually appropriate. If I went around doing whatever I thought I could get by with, I'd be a slave to my whims. And so this morning, ladies and gentlemen, if we are going to go through this resetting, right? If we are really going to surrender to the Lord, we have to grow to the place where just because we can do something doesn't mean that we should. Just because I can eat 2 or 3 gallons of Bluebell doesn't mean that I should, right? Just because I can eat 8 or 10 slices of pizza doesn't mean that I should. Why? Because it makes no sense to overindulge, right? But we think now because we have been saved from the penalty of sin that we can do whatever we want. But let's not be confused, ladies and gentlemen. Just because we are saved from the penalty of sin does not mean that we are spared from the consequences that we will face here on this side of the earth. Romans 6, verses 1 and 2, and then 12 through 14 says this. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness." You see, some come under the idea that Christ saving us, it is a get out of hell free time to do me card, right? Just because I have been saved, thanks Jesus for the save, I'll take it from here. And that is us living as an immature Christian. Some of us see it as a spiritual hookup, right? Oh, thank you, Lord. Now I'm not going to hell. So let me just go ahead and do whatever it is that I want to do. And literally, it is the picture of advantage versus appreciation. You see, the Corinthian church saw their freedom as an advantage to self-indulge. But what they should have viewed it as was an appreciation for their freedom from the bondage of sin. You see, because before, and Paul continues to talk about this in Romans chapter 6, we were bound to sin. Sin was our master, right? But because of Jesus Christ, we have now been set free. So now we are given the choice to either give ourselves back to sin as our master or to surrender ourselves to the Lord. And so I don't know what your bent is, right? Paul is specifically addressing sexual immorality here because this was a large issue for the Corinthian church. I don't know what your bent is. I don't know what that thing is that you self-indulge with, right? That you feel is so necessary that you just cannot shake it or let it go to completely give yourself to Christ. But again, just because you can do it does not mean that you should do it. The second thing that I want to bring to our attention this morning is that your sin does not only affect you. Your sin does not only affect you. Verses 14 through 18 says this, by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never, Paul says emphatically. Do you not know that he who unites himself with the prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All of the sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. You see this idea of separating the body from the spirit. It was an idea that influenced the Corinthian church. It was something that was brought up by Plato, that the body and the spirit were disconnected, right? They were not one together. Paul makes it clear here that when we give our lives to Christ, we now become one with him. And so when, again, under this umbrella of sexual immorality, when they partner in sin, they are literally taking their members that now belong to Christ, and they're now partnering with that sin. Ladies and gentlemen, Plato's ideology, it suggested that human life was designed for people to become self-lovers, right? That the body, because it was separate from the spirit, while we're here on earth, indulge, indulge, indulge. And is that not what we see today? That in our world today, we see this this holistic thinking on the fact that we just need to do us, right? That it's weak to be submitted to someone else. Our life is about us. We are to be independent of anyone, of anything, of any being. And so we find ourselves giving back in to the same sin that we were entrapped with. And as Max says, oftentimes, he says, you should not get weak in the same place every single weekend. So let's look at this. Because here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, because we are married to Christ Jesus, we cannot sin successfully. You cannot sin successfully. And we have bought the lie that we can get away with it, right? If you guys remember when Adam and Eve ate the apple in the garden, they were naked before the Lord, right? Nothing was hidden from him. So it is with us. Because we have partnered with Jesus Christ, When we find ourselves indulging in that sin, we must understand that Christ is right there with us. And I want you to stop and think about that for a second, because Paul wants the people to understand. And just think, if you find yourself trying to be secret with your sin, what would you do if your wife was standing right there? What would you do if your husband was standing right there, your kids, your mother, your father, your pastor? Would you continue to do those things? Likely the answer is no, right? But we treat God, we treat Jesus Christ as though he does not matter, right? Because the thing is, we allow the lie of the enemy to fool ourselves into the fact, well, he's not here, he's in heaven. No, he is here with us. So again, your sin does not only affect you, but it affects Jesus Christ as well. You see, this was a problem because the thing was, is that the Corinthians, what they treated Christ as, they treated him as Savior or Lord, right? And that's a problem we face today. We treat Christ as our Savior because it's from sin, and we treat him, we say Savior, and then we say or Lord, when the truth is, Christ is both Savior and Lord, right? The two are not mutually exclusive of one another. See, we uphold the fact that he's our Savior, but we deny the fact that he's our Lord. And the idea of lordship means the supreme power or rule, right? So when we declare that Christ is not only our Savior, but our Lord, we are saying that, Christ, I submit myself to your rulership, to your authorship. I submit my being to you. And ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to be reset, we have got to submit to something greater than ourselves, and that is Christ Jesus. Because the problem was, nobody could tell the Corinthians apart from anybody else, right? Just because we have the title or the tag of Christian, we must be set apart in our body, so that every action that we put on the table, somebody knows that it's different. Because everybody knew what the Corinthians did, and so now to see them doing opposite, right? It would pique curiosity and say, well, what's going on with you guys? Well, we began to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. So are you submitting this morning? Or are you just calling him Savior? Because it's a get out of hell free card. But on the side, you're continuing to do yourself. Is he just your Savior, or is he your Savior and is he your Lord? And you may answer self-righteously and say, he is my Savior and Lord. But I want us to do a real hard self-evaluation and say, well, the past 7 days, have I lived as Christ is just my Savior, or have I lived as Christ being my Lord? And ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, it is a test of our love. Who do you love more? Do you love yourself, or do you love Christ? Because we claim that we love the Lord, right? We claim that he is our all in all. But when it comes down to it, when the rubber meets the road, what decisions are you making? Are your decisions reflective of the love that you have for Christ, or are your decisions reflective of the love that you have for yourself? So again, it's a test of love. Psalm 101, 2 through 4 says this: I will be careful to lead a blameless life. When will you come to me? I will conduct the affairs of my house with a blameless heart. I will not look with approval on anything that is vile. I hate what faithless people do. I will have no part in it. I will have nothing to do with what is evil. You see, so David makes the decision that I'm not going to associate myself with people or look on anything that is vile, anything that is unpleasant. I'm not going to indulge in my selfish desires. You see, because this idea of freedom incited the fleshly nature of the Corinthians. Again, talking about the spiritual hookup, if you are an immature Christian, you will see your freedom as an advantage to self-indulge and not the opportunity to surrender and appreciate what God has done. And so again, he says, I hate what faithless people do. I will have no part in it. I will conduct the affairs of my house with a blameless heart. David makes the conscious decision that I am going to lead a blameless life. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we have to come to the place, because Christ did the hard part, right? Christ laid down his life for us. And now we must, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through surrendering, partnering with the power of the Holy Spirit, we must surrender our lives to the Lord and make the conscious decisions, one decision at a time, to be reset by submitting to the Lord's way. Finally, as we get ready to close on this morning, I want to bring to our attention that ultimately, you do not run the show. You do not run the show. Verses 19 to 20 says this: "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." Again, lastly, if we are going to be reset, we must come under the idea, under the umbrella, under the realization that we do not run the show. You are not saved for self-indulgence. You are saved for service. You are saved for submission to Christ. You see, because he makes it clear, think about it. When you buy a dog, when you buy an appliance, when you spend your hard-earned money on something, right, you don't allow the thing that you've purchased to dictate what you do, right? You don't buy a dog and then allow the dog to come in and dictate to you what the dog's going to do in the house. The dog, he goes and marks his territory. He says, "No, I'm not going to sleep on that pad. I'm going to sleep in your bed with you, and you can go sleep on the couch." That would be asinine, correct? That would be totally backwards. But the problem is that we think now because we're saved, we can dictate to God what we are and what we are not going to do. I hear you, Lord. I know what you want me to do, but nah, I'm not doing that today. I want to cuss that person out today. I want to say whatever I want to my wife. I want to be fly at the mouth. I want to give my boss a good combo. And I may even give him a 4 or 5-piece combo. And if he keeps on pressing, I may give him a 15-piece, right? You don't have the authority to dictate to God how you're going to live your life. And so Paul wants them to understand, because the elite of the sophists, of the Corinthian leaders, they had this idea that they were so elite that nobody was going to tell them what to do, right? They were so full of pride that nobody is going to tell me how I got to live my life. I'm a Christian, but I submit to no one. Right? But the crazy thing is that if we're giving ourselves into sin, we are allowing sin to become our master again. So if you're submitting to whatever your bent is, you are allowing that to be your master. And Paul says, do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? And because we've been bought with a price, now we must honor God with our bodies. Romans 12:1 says this: "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy," again, the opportunity for appreciation, "to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God," not perfect, holy and pleasing to God. "This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. The Corinthian church, they had to, and even when he writes this here in Romans, what he wants them to understand is that they have to reject the philosophies of the world. They have to reject the things that they have been inundated with. You see, because they cannot discern what God's will is, we cannot properly worship the Lord, we cannot properly give ourselves as a living sacrifice if we are still inundated with the things of the world, if we are still trying to hold on to the world's ideologies and partner God's agenda at the same time. So again, you have to be transformed by what it is that you're thinking about. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14 says this. It says, "And you were included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there are no conditions to salvation, but there are commands for Christ-likeness. There are no conditions for salvation, but there are commands for Christ-likeness. You see, we sing about the fact that we are soldiers in the army of the Lord, right? We are soldiers in the army of the Lord in the choir, in the church house, but not in service. The issue is we have a lot of AWOL Christians, right? We have those who have signed up to commit to Christ. However, we decided somewhere along the way that I'm going to do what I don't want to abide by the rules anymore. I don't want to listen to my commanding officer. I decided that I'm grown enough. Yeah, I committed to the army, but no. I've decided I'm going to do what I want to do, right? You see, the problem is we have a lot of people who have joined under false pretenses. We've signed up to be saved and to join Christianity, to follow Christ, but it's under false pretenses. It's under the false pretense that everything is good, that you're going to have a blessed and abundant life, that you're going to have cars and house and money, and God's just going to continue to bless you. So we sign up, right? Like it's a pyramid scheme. But the minute that things begin to go wrong, we say, God, I'm better off doing this by myself. But again, thanks for getting me out of hell. I appreciate you, right? And so again, are you an AWOL Christian this morning? Are you one that has made the commitment but then said, you know what, it's too much. I don't want to honor my commitment anymore. The saddest thing in the world today is for us to acknowledge Christ with our lips and then deny him by our lifestyle. The world has seen enough hypocrisy. We have to make the decision to reset and live as mature believers. Luke chapter 14, verses 28 through 33 says this: suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Again, this is what it's talking about, our witness, right? We claim all of these things that we want to be like Christ, but then we get in here and we say, oh, well, hold on, wait a minute. Nah, this ain't what I signed up for. And the onlooking world is saying, see, I told you, there's nothing about that Christ. There's nothing about that God. There's nothing about that Christianity. Verse 31 says, or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he's able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. So this morning, ladies and gentlemen, if we are going to reset, we have to realize that we are not saved for self, but we are saved for service. We are saved for submission. Paul states several times in the New Testament that we are now slaves to Christ. Christ says to us in Matthew 11, 28, come to me, all who are burdened, heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, he's not a dictator. He's not going to force you to serve him. But he's asking that you will submit to him. We sing all these pretty songs like, I give myself away, I belong to you. But when it's time to make the decision to reflect that, are you willing to live out what you've said? Have you considered the cost that you don't run the show? When I signed up to give everything to Christ. My job, how I act on the job, how I act at home, how I act out in public. Are you really willing to give that up and understand it's not a loss of your self-identity? right? Because it is your identity that makes you unique. As Christ talks, as Paul talks about the different members of Christ's body, some of the hands, some of the feet, right? So we don't lose that identity because that's what makes us unique. We simply submit and we become more like Christ. So maybe you're here or you're there in your home and you say, you know what? I have been trying to push my own agenda, merge it with God's. I've been self-indulging. I've been trying to run the show. I've been trying to sin successfully. You know, I've been taking advantage of grace like an Amex card, right? With no cap. Just sin. I mean, just swiping it away because, you know, there's no payment coming due because the payment has already been paid by Christ. But if that's you, I'm here to let you know that there is grace and forgiveness waiting for you. That's the beauty about this grace is that it is another opportunity to get it right. And the truth is we have help. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says that God has given us everything that we need to live a godly life through the power of the Holy Spirit. And because as we saw in verse 19 and 20, that we house the Holy Spirit, he is there to help us, but he's not going to force us to do anything. And when we sin against him, we sin against Christ, we sin against God, we sin against our own body, but we sin against the Holy Spirit and we grieve the Holy Spirit. And the admonishment in Ephesians chapter 4 is for us to not grieve the Holy Spirit. So ladies and gentlemen, we must reset. We must grow to the place where we say it's not about me anymore, but it is ultimately about Christ and his will. And if that makes you unpopular, if that makes people call you weak, people call you, mindless or just a sheep and all this stuff, you're just being led around by religious ideas. No, we're being led around by the shepherd, not religion. We must reset because our families, our communities, our church, those within our sphere of influence, they are depending on it. Let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you for your word this morning. God, I ask that you would help us to reset this morning, wherever we find ourselves, wherever we fall on the scale. God, I ask that you would help us to seek you out for grace and forgiveness. God, and to acknowledge the fact, to own where we are. Father, and allow your spirit to lead and guide us, to put down the sword of our will and say, we give it all to you. Not to just shake hands with you casually and then continue trying to run and live our own lives, but saying, my will, I don't want it anymore. Or maybe we say, I do want my will, but I'm choosing to submit to yours. So help us to be honest with you, God. But ultimately to make the right decision, I pray for my brothers and sisters, wherever they are, wherever they may be struggling, I ask, God, that you would give them the grace that they need. God, that you would help them to not believe the lie of the enemy that you're absent and we can get away with sin. God, because there are consequences in this life and in the next. So I pray that you help us to grow to the place where we understand that we must mature as believers and not take advantage of the grace that you've given us because it's bigger than us. God, and there are people who are watching our lifestyle. So may what we say with our lips be validated by our lifestyle. Help us to reset this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.